Welcome to the Ideal Investor Show. This is the podcast where we help you challenge your mindset and discover where you are. Tired of stories about other people's success? We can help you change your life, determine your time freedom point, and join us on the journey to financial success. Let's go. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Ideal Investor Show. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about something that is very important to me. And this episode is maybe a little bit more focused towards younger people and towards women. And why I'm saying this, it's not because I think there's any kind of particular advantage or disadvantage or benefit or something like that, or any kind of gender stuff or so forth related to residential real estate investing. But in my experience, I have found that certain groups are basically being indoctrinated almost by the media and by the school system and so forth to believe that something isn't for them. And to be more specific, when I talk to younger people, oftentimes they have built and formed the belief that it takes a lot of money to get started in real estate investing. And that is flat out not true. The opposite is actually true, because money, just in general terms, is not equal if you look at it through a lifespan. If I take my own example and I look back at the time when I had just at 19 years old joined the military, the Air Force, to learn how to fly fighter jets. And the whole journey, it started a long time ago, and it took... Basically, let me think, it took 6 years. And in those 6 years, and that was basically when I was 25, my wife and I got married. So in those 6 years, I was basically on my own. I was at a low rank, really like initial level, but I had a rank and I got paid by the Air Force every month. And on top of that, the only real expense that I had in that time of my life was my car. And admittedly, yes, I liked a nice car and I liked a fast car and stuff. So I probably drove a better car than I should have, or a more expensive car than I should have. But still, that was the only thing. Why? Well, all the time that I went through training for the Air Force, first boot camp and then officer school and then initial flight training and then English training and then pilot training and all that training stuff, it always happened on Air Force installations, and the whole time the Air Force provided lodging, basically shelter. They provided initially just a bunk bed, and then as we got a little higher in rank, a little further in our program, we got our own kind of like suite, so to speak. You know, like you had a bedroom with a little corner where you could have your like desk and office work stuff. And in some cases, you had your own bathroom. In some cases, you had common bathrooms. And then there was somewhere a cafeteria in the complex somewhere, right? Oh, yeah, by the way, you know, they also provided food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, yes, even though we went out and we went to restaurants and we had parties and stuff like that, but think about that. I got a paycheck every month, even though it was low, small, but I didn't have to pay for housing or shelter. I didn't have to really pay for food other than kind of like the little food in addition to what was already provided 3 times a day, right? So the core things that most people spend a lot of money on, I didn't have to spend on. I didn't have a family, so there was nothing. There were no kids to pay for. The only real thing, if I were to be really, really frugal, would have been my car, and I could have had a much cheaper car than I did. Why am I saying this? The point is, at that time, the disposable amount of my income was something in the 90% area, or maybe 85%. I could have put 80, 85% of what I made every month aside, and within a relatively short period of time, would have had, at the time, you have to keep in mind how far back that was, I would say probably in 6 to 8 months, I would have had enough money to make my first down payment on my first property. In every 8 months or so after, I could have done the second one, the third one, the fourth one, and so forth. But I didn't. Why? Because I was indoctrinated, just like most other people, to believe that real estate investing was for rich people, and you had to have a family, and you had to have good income, and you had to have all kinds of money in the savings account already. So I was indoctrinated to believe that real estate investing, buying houses for investment purposes, was something that people in my position and with my upbringing just didn't do. And so the result was I didn't know it. Nobody encouraged me to try to find out about it. And so I just spent the money on stuff that ultimately I can't even remember anymore. Yes, I went on vacations. I had all kinds of cool technology gadgets and stuff like that. We went to party and vacation and what have you, every opportunity we had. So in a way, I could say I basically pissed away the money. And with it, I also pissed away the opportunity. Right. And so the older you get, now you start having, like I had at 25, my wife and I, and then shortly after we had the baby, and then we had to get our own place because obviously when you have a family, not everybody can live in an Air Force dorm. So we got our first rental property to rent. And then we ultimately at 3 or 4 years later, we bought our first house for ourselves. Right. But fundamentally, the portion of my income that went into all kinds of things for life and the portion that was left to be used for investing got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And then in the end, it went down to 10%. And yes, you're right. I always preach, do the thing that the richest man in Babylon, that book is, by the way, really recommendable, says, and put 10% of everything that comes in aside at the moment it comes into your accounts. But there used to be a time when it was, could have been 80% or 75%. And I missed it. So anybody who is younger, like I said, when I started this episode, please look at how much do you really need for the basics of life and take the rest and put it aside. And as soon as you get to a number somewhere in the 15 to 20,000 area, invest it. And if you want to have it for the long term, for at 40 or 35, never have to work again, then please invest it in real estate. And if you don't know how, go to idealinvestorshow.com, find the button, book a call, and let me tell you, and let's have a conversation. I'm happy to help you. And the other reason why I mention not just younger people, but why I mention women is because I have met a lot of women that came to us and talked to me, and they basically many, many times said, I don't have enough self-confidence to make these investments. Now, I'm not saying that's 100% of women, but there are, in my experience, more women than there should be. And there is really no difference in gender if you invest in something or not. It's more a cultural thing, a perception thing, and a self-confidence thing. And I would really, really, really like to help you. And I'm very glad to say that we have a number of women in our community who I have been able to help. And the work, the collaboration, and the mentoring, and the coaching that happens is not just so that we can make these investments together. And I can help you make good investments and build that portfolio and have a passive income portfolio way before you ever really have to think about the traditional retirement age. But in the process of doing that and working together and developing that, you will also see that you have every right and every opportunity to be self-confident and not listen to the naysayers. And that self-confidence will ultimately also help you not just for your investing, but it will also help you in life. It will help you in your job. It will help you in your decision make. It will help you in how you actually build relationships and what you do and don't do and how confident you are about that. So that's kind of like a little bit of a side benefit that comes from working together. And that's why I'm so excited. Anybody who is listening to this episode or previous episodes, and you are like, let's say, not yet 30 or early 30s as an age group, or you are female and you're considering, what can I do to really get a powerful, high-performing portfolio? I really hope that you take my invitation, book a call, and let's have a conversation and allow me to help you, because it will be so impactful for the rest of your life. So that's it for today. Be well, stay safe, and I talk to you tomorrow.